Welcome. This is Brian Cute to the Accountability and Transparency Review Team 2 conference call of Thursday, June 20th. Welcome all. What we have up on the screen is the proposed agenda with 7 items. Importantly, in terms of the substance today, we want to focus on, after the administrative items, the independent expert results of the poll and next steps, update from the work streams, report on activities, and public comments and preparing for Durban. Is there any proposed addition or change to the agenda before we adopt it? Looking for hands. I see a hand, Aubrey.
Hi, yeah, this is Aubrey. I'm wondering if we should just include a quick update based on the question that David asked about the confidential list, et cetera.
Sure, we can make an amendation to that. So it would now include a new item number 7, update on confidential inquiries or inputs. Any other suggested edits? Looking for hands? Okay, with that amendation, hearing no objection, we'll adopt the agenda as proposed and edited and move to item number 2. Do we have any updates to individuals' declarations of interest to be announced on this call? Looking for hands? Seeing none, going to move to item number 3, adopting the preliminary report, which was circulated by Alice, and was a report for, let me pull it. Alice, can you give me the date of that report while I'm hunting around for it again?
Yes.
The date of the meeting.
Yes, May 23rd, call 06. It's up on the screen.
You get it up on the screen now, thank you. Are there any proposed edits or corrections to the preliminary report from our call of May 23rd? Looking for hands. Okay. Seeing none, then the preliminary report will be accepted as written. And Alice, if you would kindly post that to the ATRT2 website.
Certainly.
Thank you very much. So let's move to agenda item number 4, which is the independent expert. So let's walk through the things we need to accomplish. Number 1, the results of the doodle poll and recommendations from the chair and vice chairs were sent out to the team. We need to discuss those recommendations and make sure the team is comfortable with them or not. Number 2, we need to, if we're moving forward fairly rapidly, put together an RFP. We need to talk about scope of work, and I think it's important that we come to a consensus on what the scope of work should be. Alan has put together a document for us to look at and discuss. Thirdly, we need to look at timing of the engagement and what the rational calendar looks like and how that would feed into our work streams. So let's make sure we cover up all those items during the time that we have. First, let's start with, before we get to the document that's on the screen, for those on the phone who've seen the email from the chair and vice chairs with the recommendation of how we proceed, it encapsulated the results of the doodle poll and our suggestions. Are there any objections or support or suggested changes to the recommendation of the chair and vice chairs with respect to the independent expert? Looking for hands. If I see no hands, we're going to proceed along the lines of that recommendation.
I was dropped out of the Adobe, so I'm not able to raise my hand digitally.
Oh.
But if you allow me.
Please, sir.
just a few words. I have no objections as to proceeding as mentioned in your email. I think that is straightforward. What I just wanted to ask is that there has been some confusion, at least in my head, about what was the process regarding establishing a budget for ATRT2. Suddenly we found out that there was a budget which in practical terms would leave us with an amount of money of around $90,000 for work to be carried out by external experts. And I looked into the budget for the first ATRT, and it seemed that the expenses for external consultants in ATRT1 amounted to almost three times as much as the budget. So I was a little bit confused about what the background for ICANN proposing such a small amount of money was. But having read Denise's mail, where she informed us all about the budget, it also became clear to me that if ATRT so wished, it would be possible to expand the amount of money for external experts. And that led me to another thought, and that was, I simply cannot recall why we decided that we would only have external experts on one particular topic, the topic which received most votes in the Google poll. Can you clarify this to me? Because I, as I said in the beginning, I was slightly confused about what was the background for this whole process.
Let me start with the last question first, which is something I can respond to and we should discuss and come to some understanding on the team. On the budget questions, I'm with you in terms of having some certainty as to what the actual dollars are for this exercise, the independent expert exercise, but we'll put those to Denise. To your last question, in terms of how much work we were going to ask an independent expert to do, which does tie to budget dollars, I think the analysis, and Aubrey and Alan, feel free to jump in after me, from the chair and vice chair's perspective, what really focused on the results of the poll. And from a support of the team, and in particular the fact that it was more than half of the members of the review team that supported the one issue, that was the lens through which we analyzed what do we think is the work that should be scoped out to be done by an independent expert. We have the same questions you do about the budget, but in my recollection, really the focus of the analysis is which issue does the review team think is the most important, and ergo, which one should we recommend to the team for work by an expert? Alan, Aubrey, please feel free to jump in on that. Your hands are up. Aubrey?
Hi, this is Aubrey. Yeah, pretty much what was just said. I think, though, it wasn't that one of them was most. It was that only three of them met a minimum threshold of half the people commenting, let alone half of the entire group. So when looking at these things and saying, did more than half the people in this group think that this was something that would be worth getting an outside research, an outside consultant for, and only on the three topics that are mentioned in the thing was there even close to more than that. The one that was picked had a good amount more than half. Metrics had a slight bit of more than half. And I think the wider use of the case studies was just about at half of those who voted, which is still less than half of those on the team, thinking that it was important. So it isn't so much they were compared against each other for which is most important. It was they were compared against a threshold of at least more than half the people thought it was important enough to get a consultant for. So I think that's the way certainly that I was looking at it when, you know, doing the analysis with the rest of the folks. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I don't disagree with anything that was said. I think another issue, certainly in my mind, was this is a big study. It's going to involve a fair amount of work, not only on part of the consultant, but on the part of the review team, in terms of establishing it, setting up the terms of reference, and then working with the external consultant during both the process of the study and analyzing, taking the results and analyzing it, and try to do two just seemed to be overwhelming to me in any case. So, I mean, if this had been a small study, then we could certainly imagine doing several of them. Given that it's not going to be small, at least certainly in my mind, it seemed like just overachieving to try to do more than one and do all of this in parallel in the very short time frame we have to actually get a contract out and then for them to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And Muir and I would add one more thought to that that does tie into the budget. On the issue of metrics, which you know I put forward and which, as Aubrey noted, received the second highest level of support, and I think I put some of these thoughts into the email to the team, it merited the support of the team, and perhaps it could have been chartered to an independent expert, but having heard from Denise that staff was in the process of engaging a consultant or expert, it is to my mind one of those areas where why would you spend twice the amount of money for the same inputs? So from a dollars perspective, that consideration was in my mind in acceding to let's not get an independent expert of our own. That being said, I feel very strongly that if staff is to engage a consultant or an expert to look at metrics, that this team should be engaged with that expert, with staff, should provide our perspective along the way and inputs, and that if the engagement of that expert, we do need some more information from ICANN staff, is not going to take place in a timely fashion, then that's another consideration we need to think about. You're on your hand as well.
Yes, I'm on it over again. Thank you very much for this explanation and sharing your considerations with me. I think this is straightforward, and I can fully endorse your thinking around this. I have only one small concern, and that is also linked to my question, and that is the proposal for looking into finances, because I had hoped that it would be possible to let external experts look at this, and I also saw from the comments on the spreadsheets that many of our colleagues in the team shared their leases as mine, and my emphasis on dealing with this. But at the end of the day, we didn't reach a result with that many votes supporting that we move forward on this. But I would hope that we at least in the work streams can deal with the finance issue, because I still have in my mind that it was a clear proposal from GAC at the Toronto meeting last autumn that the ATRT2 should deal with finances. And I completely appreciate the arguments put forward by in particular Olivier and Alan that a lot of things are happening on this issue currently, and that means that we would end up in a snapshot result, which would not be a clear reflection of what is really happening when we get the report from the external experts. So I can accept that, and I think that's straightforward. But thank you very much for clarifying, I think I have a clear picture now of what has been the consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. And I support your suggestion that in terms of the work streams in the ATRT2 looking at finances, and that's something that should be very carefully and strongly considered. And as with every other issue we're looking at, it will come down to a question of bandwidth and focus. And if it's there, then I strongly encourage that the relevant work stream take that issue on. That being said, you asked about budget. And so one thing I hope we can do in this call is come to some consensus around the scoping of the work that the independent expert would do on the PDP process. The scoping of the work will obviously have an impact on the amount of hours and ultimately the cost of this exercise, so that's an important takeaway from today that I'd like us to get to. That being said, the question on budgets, budget from Urine that he posted earlier, Denise or anybody from ICANN staff, can you please speak to the available dollars, the budget beyond the June dollars, and what level of flexibility the review team might have?
This is Denise. So there's an email I sent to the team on May 30th, which outlines the proposed budget for the ATRT 2. $90,000 was flagged for consulting for ATRT 2 in fiscal year 14, which starts July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
What else would you like to know?
So it's $90,000 in fiscal year 2014 budget. That becomes available as of July 1st. And
right, assuming that the budget is...
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
So the FY14 budget is in the process of being finalized. So assuming that it is finalized and there are no significant changes, that's what we anticipate being available for July 1st.
Okay, so it's not fully approved yet, but that's what's in the proposed budget that could become available July 1st if approved. With respect to the $63,998, which was in fiscal year 2013, that's authorized up until June 30th and then expires with that budget. Is there any possibility of a carryover? Is that just from an accounting perspective not possible?
Yeah, there's no carryovers.
Okay. We have $90,000 total, assuming this budget into the
correct for consulting.
Okay.
Right. And then as long as we're on the budget issue, and I think we should flag this and discuss it probably separately, but the budget also anticipated ATRT attendance meetings at the Durban meeting as well as, I believe, Argentina. Is that correct, Alice? And a U.S. meeting in addition to that. So there's another budget issue that's a challenge that's emerging. So rather than meeting in the U.S., which costs around $20,000, the team has indicated it will meet in Australia, which is now looking at over $100,000 in cost. So that's a significant change in the travel funding. So we should flag that and have a separate discussion about that.
Okay. With respect to the independent expert, just to stick on this issue
Yes.
Looking at the process from the first time around, just in terms of the timing and the calendar, ATRT 2, it took about 4 to 6 weeks to get from issuing an RFP, interviewing candidates, selecting a candidate, getting the contract signed. That's a rough estimate. But let's put it this way. This review team moving forward with an independent expert won't know what the actual cost is going to be based on bids, likely for, 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks' time, which takes us into the July timeframe. I can't predict where we're going to land. I think the scoping discussion today might give us some sense, but in terms of actual dollars, this is an unknown. I think if the review team decides to proceed and we scope out work and put it out for bid, we may find ourselves in a situation where we're coming back to you with a cost for this exercise that may be under the $90,000, may be over the $90,000. I can't predict. And I need to know flexibility from ICANN's side in this process if we were to come back with a cost that exceeded the $90,000, assuming that's approved.
Right, and so the process that was established by the board with the creation of the first ATRT team was a process in which the ATRT team could discuss with the board if there were budget issues. But I think it's worth revisiting that and looking more specifically at what the appropriate process is now. So why don't I take an action item to look into this and then come back to you with some more guidance.
That would be very welcome. Okay. That being said, I think we need to get to the substance of our discussion here on the process.
Brian, I'm
yes, please.
Jan speaking for the record. I will not prolong this discussion anymore, but I found the email from Denise from 30th of May, and I have noted in that email, which I think was very encouraging, there is a sentence saying that ICANN staff and board fully appreciate the importance of the work that the ATRT2 is engaged in and will ensure that appropriate resources are available to conduct this work in the most professional, efficient, and productive manner. I have read this sentence in the way that if there is a need for exceeding the $90,000 for consulting, ICANN staff and board will look at that in a positive manner. And I completely share the remarks made by you, Brian, and I think that we should hope that ICANN staff will come back with a positive response to exceeding the $90,000 if need be. I think it would be not very helpful if we need to limit ourselves with respect to the scope of this PDP effectiveness study. I think the paper, the draft made by Alan, is a very good one, and that would be a great basis for moving forward. And I would really think that it would be a pity if we had to limit the work which is sketched out in that document. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Your points are noted, and from my perspective, I think the review team should be and will be responsible with respect to engaging an expert and working to have a careful scoping of the undertaking and to do it in the most responsible way with respect to any dollars that are spent. That is my point of view, and we should strive for that. That being said, I think, and we will jump into the discussion of scoping of work on the basis of Alan's paper, we also need to think about the timeline. And as I mentioned, looking back at ATRT1's experience, it was at least 6 weeks, give or take, before we went from RFP to contract. And, realistically, that time puts us to the end of July at this point in time. And so if we move forward in this, and that seems to be the will of the group, we have to realize that the expert will be engaged and start work at the beginning of August. And our timeline as it stands has us issuing draft recommendations sometime in mid-October. And therefore, this expert would have a window of time. We want to factor in that their work would come to the review team and inform our recommendations, really 2 months maximum, and probably with some intermittent reports along the way, so the review team could digest the analysis and conclusions of the expert. So we need to think in terms of the timeline and how that relates to the scope of work and make sure that we get the benefit of an independent expert's work and that it be quality work that feeds into our work. So with those statements being made, I would suggest we take a look at, if you're agreeable, Alan, going right to the end of your document and focus our discussion on the scope of the work on this issue and have a discussion of what we think the actual scope should be, We're looking at the heading assignment on page 3, if you all don't mind going there. And then, Alan, I'll turn it to you and let you walk the team through what your view is, the appropriate scoping of the work for this expert, and then we'll open it for discussion.
Thank you, Brian. As I said, I didn't put it in the note to the work group, to the entire review team last night, but I did note when I was when the vice chairs were looking at the draft, that the last section was the one that I felt was weakest from my point of view. As this document was pulled together very, very quickly, and that's probably the section that needs the most work to make sure that we're being rather explicit and clear as to what we want done and what we're trying to get out of this. The other section that we need to look at very carefully is the one defining what effectiveness means from the point of this review team. In other words, how do we recognize the PDP process that is effective? Because we need to give guidance to the external expert as to what we're really expecting. So setting the bar is also an important issue. Having said that, I can go over what is here, or I can just open it up to questions. Brian, do you want me to sort of not read it out, but go over the logic in it?
Yeah, that sounds fine, and then open it up and see what folks think. Thank you.
Okay. The first difficulty and part of any assignment like this is finding people. We're not likely to find people who are already very familiar with the process. The process is very complex, and a lot of both detail and subtlety in it. So the first step is going to be to understand what the process is and how it's actually carried out. We believe there, over the last few years, there are enough PDPs that have been done with enough varied outcomes that there will be an opportunity to find a good cross-section of them. And there's still many of the people around who participated in these and can be available for interviews and discussion. So we think the material is there, and hopefully we can find someone who's willing to dive in and try to understand it all. What I believe we're looking for is an identification of whether of how well it is working, and an external opinion of what success means, because there is a wide variety of opinions, as noted earlier in the document, on success, and we're looking for people, with experience in this area to try to make an assessment of what is it we should be looking for. And a large part of that is not only are the outcomes good, but are the outcomes being based on the needs of the various stakeholders and representing the public interest, which is a core part of our assignment. That is, are we involving all of the groups that need to be involved in the policy process? At the extreme, if we're only involving those who are contracted parties and have a financial stake in the game, we're not going to likely meet all of the needs and ICANN's overriding need of satisfying the public interest. So the question is, are we getting the right people involved? Are we coming out with reasonable answers? Are the mechanisms that we have within the process sufficient to address the range of problems that we put into PDPs? And, of course, are we doing it in a transparent manner? So that's essentially the sum total of what I've put here, and I'm not at all convinced it's expressed well, but I think that's the general gist of what I was trying to imply and what I think we need to satisfy Section E of 9.1, or at least to go a good way into addressing it. I'm open for questions, comments, or people who want to rewrite it. Either my screen is frozen, but I don't see any hands. Fiona.
Yeah, hi, Alan. This is Fiona Alexander. I think this is a good start, and we would definitely agree with what you put on paper. And I do think there are a fair number of people that could actually do this, so I don't think that there's going to be there'll be a fair number of people that apply for this to actually provide a good quality product. I think we would just propose one modification on your third bullet, which starts at line 82.
Okay.
And perhaps we could add another sub-bullet that sort of compares the existing ICANN PDT processes to the policy processes of other multi-stakeholder bodies, like the IETF or W3C or whatever else may be out there, not even in the Internet space. So you could get a comparison point between the others as well.
I guess my reaction to that is I'd be delighted if we can get that. Is that increasing the amount of workload? If we can't find someone who understands ours, are there people who already understand the others? Or are we implicitly requesting an in-depth study of the others by asking that question?
I think, you know, in terms of actually getting at best practices, you've got to look at what works in other venues, other institutions, and it will help. I think it's something to put out there and see what people come back in terms of proposing how they would do it. And it's something you could evaluate in terms of scoring the responses, which is what the group is going to have to do next once you get responses to the RFP.
Okay. Brian.
Yeah, one question I'd love to some clarity on is understanding the process, the PDP process itself, is one clear piece of the work. Looking at specific PDPs and various outcomes, clearly the number of PDPs that are reviewed as part of the understanding can determine the scope of work and the number of hours and the lift by the independent expert. Do you have any specific thoughts about how many PDPs, how they'd be selected, and how that might impact the scope of work?
I certainly have some thoughts. If you go back to my original concept paper, I identified three classes of PDPs and, in fact, identified three specific ones or general ones, because in one of them I said any one of several would satisfy it, which I think demonstrate the kind of problems the current PDP process has right now, and therefore, you know, I think are a good range. I'm not 100% sure we want to be very prescriptive in identifying them, but I think it would be reasonable to give them a selection of, you know, and Marika will have to help us a little bit on which ones are perhaps well documented and that we can go to, but perhaps a half a dozen, and then suggest that they look at three or something like that. It depends how prescriptive we want to be or to what extent we want to let them do the picking in collaboration with some review team members. I don't think we can let it be completely arbitrary on that part, but completely done on their side, because we need to be convinced we're getting good value for it and are really addressing what parts of the community have seen as the possible trouble areas or the different kinds of results that come out of PDPs. So I think we need to be more prescriptive than what is in this document today. I'm not sure we want to be as prescriptive as what was in my original concept document. Fiona.
Yeah, it's Fiona Alexander again. So one recommendation and one question. I think it's important that whatever an expert looks at needs to be a PDP or a process that's completed, so not something in process, so not something that you can actually do the full evaluation. But the other question I had, and I'm not quite sure what the right answer is, and maybe we'd put it to the group, which is it some? Are we looking at just the last 3 years of PDP, or since ACRT1 never really focused on this issue, would you open it up to everything? And, of course, my ICANN's history.
Okay, certainly I'll give you my answers. I took it as a given that we're going to look at PDPs that are certainly completed and implemented if there was an implementation, because typically a PDP results in a consensus policy or in a decision which then is implemented. I don't think we'll have the luxury necessarily of picking ones where we have a long history afterwards of seeing how well it worked, although that clearly would be even better. In terms of how far back it goes, my recollection is the first PDPs that we did under the current process, which involves working groups, it may have been the domain tasting one in 2007. I don't think there was anything earlier. And even that one was not quite according to our current process. So I don't think we can go back farther than about 6 years or 5 to 6 years, because the process was radically different before then. But I see no reason not to go that far back. We did do a major revamp of the PDP process, but it's really altering to some extent the details of it and not the overall flow and how people are involved. Does that answer what you were asking?
Yeah, it does for me. Thank you.
Okay. We have Fiona either again, or maybe it's an old hand, and Jürgen. Jürgen, why don't you try?
Oh, Fiona is out. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Alan. This is Jørgen speaking. As I have said already, I think it's a very good draft which you've provided, Alan, and I have not very many comments on it. I have one observation which is linked to the last lines on the first page, where I think that it is very well put, the mentioning on the specific role of GAC in all this context, and I think that the text is very balanced, and I can fully support this. But having mentioned GAC and also taking into account that one particular point of criticism which has been brought on the table on various occasions recently, that GAC advice is not appropriately taken on board by ICANN. I think that it should be considered adding an extra bullet on the very last page, and I have a concrete proposal for such a bullet. It's between line 86 and 87, and the bullet would go something like this. Repeat what is said in line 85 and 86. Whether the process incorporates the views of all stakeholders, both those active in ICANN and those not typically present for ICANN deliberations. And then I would add an extra bullet saying whether in particular the views and advice provided by GAC has been duly taken into account, given the specific tasks of national governments with respect to public policy. And this is also reflecting the lines on at the bottom of the first page. I would be happy to send you, I've made a short email, and I will send you this if you agree that this will it be included.
I was trying to copy it down and stopped after about five words because you got past my ability to write. Maybe if you could just put that sentence in the draft, in the chat. I certainly have no problem putting the concept. Whether the wording I'm comfortable with, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, good. I just sent an email, but I could try to put it in the chat as well.
Yeah, I think it also it has to include the flavor, not only of whether the views are taken into account, but whether they are presented in a timely manner. You know, certainly if you look at some of the issues that the GAC is raising right now, if they had been raised 4 years ago, the world may have unfolded in different ways. So I think we have to incorporate both parts of that. But yes, certainly, The GAC I was implying in my in line 85, 86, but I, given the importance and the importance of the GAC as mentioned in the ICANN bylaws, that is, it talks about the board having to take the result, the input, but not necessarily other groups or how they have to respond to it. I think it's valid to call it out separately. Marika, maybe I can call on you because you've been involved in depth in a whole bunch of PDPs, and but not of course the original GTLD one was before your time. Do you have any thoughts on this overall issue of the involvement of the GAC and you know addressing the needs that have been presented?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think I've already typed some comments in the chat. First of all, in relation to you know, the old versus the revised process, and it may be worth pointing out that we actually haven't had a PDP that has completed completely under the new rules, like really from the start to the finish. So I think that is something that probably would need to be pointed out as part of either the brief or in the eventual report, to make sure as well that people understand that I think there were some important improvements that were made in the revised PDP, I think especially with regard to including external views and reaching out to other stakeholders to ensure their input. And I think, Alan, you're spot on as well when you know that it's maybe not as much whether input is reviewed but whether input is actually received. Because looking at the recent PDPs that we've run where there are requirements for working groups to reach out to different ICANN supporting organizations as well as advisory committees for input and feedback, we haven't received a whole lot of that. And I think that's also the subject of one of the conversations the GNSO is currently having with GAC on how to actually improve that. And basically from our side, we've identified all those different points in a PDP where outreach is being done and where input can be provided, and we're trying to see from the GAC side, you know, are we asking it in the right way, or are there other mechanisms that we need to explore to make sure indeed that input is received in a timely fashion and early in the process. I think, as you said, looking at the recent PDPs, presumably, indeed, the domain tasting one is the one that was first run under that, and there are a couple of others that took place in that time frame. I think, again, following a little bit the categories you identified, where we had a couple that were, at least I think from our perspective, successful, you know, coming to consensus outcomes that have resulted in changes to existing policy or new policies, but also a couple that didn't manage to come to consensus and either concluded without policy recommendations or even didn't conclude and stopped halfway through because no further progress could be achieved. But I think some of the recent ones should be able to provide some good data. And I posted as well a link in the chat because we do keep a track of all the PDPs, at which stages they are. And I myself have a number of timesheets that I've basically kept track of, you know, how much time it takes to get from one step to the other, so it gives us an idea as well how much time it takes to run through the overall PDP. But having looked as well at Alan's document, I think one of the key questions will be for you to identify indeed what you consider efficient and timely, taking into account that this is a multi-stakeholder process. And again, I think as Alan noted as well, that may differ from person to person, but I think it will be very important to make clear in the RFP to make sure that the third party that will be looking into that is clear on what they're comparing and what they're looking for. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you, Marika. Brian.
Thanks, Alan. Just with an eye on the clock, I think I'd like to try to pull this to a close and get next steps agreed to. So we can get to the rest of the agenda. That being said, are there any Urine has made a suggested recommendation or amendment to the assignment
portion of this document. Is everyone comfortable with that? Are you comfortable with that? Any suggested changes to Jürgen's offered language?
Well, as Alan, as I suggested, I think it needs to factor in the question of whether the views and advice are being presented in a timely manner, and then whether they're being taken into account, because I think it's a two-part question.
So I'd really like to get this down to an agreement on language. Are you making a suggested amendment to his statement?
Sorry,
and can
I
you
hadn't,
be specific
I hadn't
about it, so
on it to the extent of doing that. Jürgen and I can work offline if you're happy with that. And I think I heard general agreement from Jürgen on the concept. If someone else can propose actual wording, then I'm happy to consider it. I hadn't. Let's look at the hands we have. Maybe someone's willing to draft something on the fly. We have Avery and...
The next steps we need to get to are we need to draft an RFP. We need to get it out the door. And the RFP is going to be drafted on the basis of this language here in line 74 through 89, as amended. So two things I want to capture from the group is, are we in agreement on the language in that section? And is the group comfortable just delegating to the chair and vice chair the task of drafting an RFP that aligns with this language and getting that process rolling? That's really the key next step.
We have a tick from Fiona Asanga, and we have two hands up.
Go ahead, Alan.
I'd like to hear what Avery and Olivier wanted to say, because I think that they
okay.
were addressing that question. Avery?
Hi, this is Avery. I guess when the comfort question was asked about this change, I have the same opinion of it I've had of many of the other things, stated neutrally. The way Jürgen sort of stated it, it sounded like it's more on...
Avery,
either enough
out.
Or the option that some of the community might believe. Okay. It just needs to be done neutrally as opposed to presuming that there hasn't been enough GAC in, mentioning. So if it's written neutrally, I'm fine.
Well, Olivier?
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier for the transcript. Couple of points. The first one, the paper is entitled PDP Effectiveness Study. Should we put GNSO PDP effectiveness study? I understand other, maybe PDP is a reserved term, but some refer to CCNSO policy development process.
It is not a reserved term, and the text refers to the GNSO, I think, but the title certainly should too. Although the title was just an arbitrary thing that I put at the title.
Okay.
I suspect that will may change. But yes, you're correct.
Thanks, Alan.
It should be PDP.
So that was one thing. The other thing is I've noticed in the chat Marika mentioning that no PDP has been completed under the revised PDP rules which were adopted in December 2012. Does this introduce complications for a review of that PDP process?
I'll give my opinion. We made a large number of changes, but they were to do with exactly how we address public comments and both address the comments and ensure there were comments. We added comment periods on the issue report. We formalized a number of things which were informal before, such as using the work group model, which hadn't actually been there. There were other options. So we made a lot of changes. In my mind, if we had... Let's go to the extreme. If we had done the vertical integration PDP, which is one of the ones that stopped halfway through because they couldn't come to any closure and couldn't even make a non-committal recommendation, if we had done that under the new rules, the timing would have been different, the details of the process would have been different. I don't think the changes we made would have affected the outcome. And I think that's probably true on most of the PDPs. So it's true we haven't done anything under these, we haven't finished anything under these rules, but I would have thought PDP, IRTPC was in fact done mostly under them, but I believe Marie Kupchy says they weren't. But I don't think it's a revamping of the overall process compared to, for instance, if you look at the process that was followed for the new GTLD PDP itself, where I don't believe there was an issue report. The overall flow was completely different. So, and it wasn't a work group; it was a modified task force. So I'm comfortable in not worrying about the fact that the details of the rules changed partway through. I think the overall concept is very close to the same. Brian?
Thanks, Alan. Okay, we need to bring this item to a close. What I'm hearing is, and I need to hear now if there's any objection, last call, agreement to the language in the document on page 3 under the heading assignment with the amendation offered by Urine and be agreed perhaps offline with a little more editing. But that will form the basis of the scope of work that the chair and vice chair now have the task of putting together in relatively short order a draft RFP to be put out and with all of the elements necessary in terms of a timeline for response and what the requirements are and expectations are by the ATRT2. We will need to work with ICANN staff in terms of that RFP process, and we will do it as expeditiously as we can. I think as a matter of timeline, just projecting out based on past experience, again, I don't think it's likely that we're going to have responses in hand to have a discussion with candidates by Durban. My guess at this point, and it's just a guess, is that sometime shortly thereafter, we should be in a position to have a full team call with the candidates so they can make their presentations and we can make a selection. Part of making a selection means we have to have agreed upon evaluation criteria. The chair and vice chairs will take that on as a task to put together some draft evaluation criteria that we will use to make a selection of the independent expert and circulate that to the team for review and agreement. Those are the specific tasks. Any discussion on that? Anything I missed before we head off? And by all means, if you have any objections to what I've just said, please make them now.
Yep. Brian, I just have one caveat. This whole thing was put together very, very quickly, and in particular, you haven't really had a chance to go over it because of your commitments with your board meeting. So I would suggest that if indeed the currently titled section assignment, if we find as we're working on the next level of the documents that we did omit something, that we will clearly call it out clearly and bright line to the review team that if we do have to make changes. But I wouldn't be surprised if indeed we find something that halfway through we slap our heads and say, we forgot something obvious. So with that caveat,
sure.
I have no problem with what you said.
Fair point. And as a team, we'll have a chance to interview candidates, and we'll have opportunities down the road to slap our heads and say, we forgot this item or that item, and bring that into our work and the discussion with the experts. So we'll make room for that in case it comes up. Any other last objections? That's the task that we're going to undertake as a chair and vice chairs. Otherwise, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Okay, I'm seeing no hands. Next item on the agenda is reports from the respective work streams. We've got 25 minutes allocated for that, maybe a bit less given the time the expert issue took. But what I'd like to invite now in turn is Olivier, David, Michael, and Fiona to give the group an update on the work within your work streams. I'd like you to focus on, at a minimum, three things. What specific deliverables do you have in view? How is the work progressing? And are there any resource needs or gaps in terms of what you have to work with that are hindering your work?
So in turn, please at least hit those 3 points and any others you see relevant. Olivier, if you take it away.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's Olivier for the transcript record. The only technical problem I have at the moment is that I've got 1 more minute until the call of death. So perhaps rather than just starting now and then having to call again and so on, maybe you can start with someone else and I'll get dialed into again.
Right, very good. Okay, David Conrad, please.
Hi, so deliverable, so sort of a status update. Workstream has gone through the a set of SSR-related documents and working on a set of questions for additional information related to SSR efforts within ICANN. Deliverables, we're planning on providing a set of questions to Patrick and the security team that basically span on information that they've provided to date. Progress, making some progress. I don't see any sort of time criticalities in the immediate future, but that is sort of related to workload, which is not entirely clear to me right now. One of the things I am trying to do is cut down on the number of questions. I came up with quite a few as I was going through the SSR-related documents, and my expectation is that given the current number of questions, it may take quite a while for staff to actually be able to respond, so I wanted to sort of summarize and pop up a level. The existing questions are pretty detailed. Resource needs, gaps. At this stage, the biggest resource need is time, I am becoming increasingly concerned about sort of the time frames that we're looking at to get all sorts of things sort of lined up and moving forward. Resource gaps, I guess having more eyes on the questions and more input in that area would be helpful within the work stream, but outside of the work stream, I don't, there will be some requirements of staff time. That amount of time is currently not entirely clear to me. So at some point in the near future, that may be an issue, and I will keep people informed as things progress. And with that, I'll hand it back to Brian.
Thanks very much, David. Michael, if you would.
Good morning to all. Our work stream was and is quite limited in terms of, I would say, headcount. So we have only 3 active participants, while the task is not less important. And as for the deliverables, I think David told most of the things that would work exactly for our work stream as well. So we had a number of discussions and conf calls on different aspects of the WHOIS issue and their perception and the implementation of the WHOIS review team. Finally, we located that we need further clarifications and update on the report that we've received approximately a month ago from the ICANN staff, because some of the points that were mentioned in the report are either ambiguous or out of date. And we need more updated information, preferably way before Durban, about what happens now with this implementation. And I think we will be able also to arrange some meetings, including the members of the WHOIS review team in Durban, just to get the full picture and to be able to give full and clear understanding on the WHOIS review. Thank you. Hello?
Sorry, Michael, I was on mute. On the additional information you need from ICANN staff with respect to implementation, have you made a specific request to staff? Are you getting an opportunity for input or interaction put on the calendar?
We do work with the people from ICANN staff, and I think we will get the feedback well as soon as possible.
Okay, great. One other follow-up question, and this really applies to all the work streams, but I think in particular the WHOIS work stream, it's one of the more thinly populated work streams. We've got effectively three people who are on work stream three, and I wanted to call that to the attention of everybody on the review team, that work stream one and work stream four tend to seem to be very well populated. Workstream 3, in my view, certainly could use another volunteer or two. We don't want all of the work to fall on the shoulders of one or two persons. It's just not an efficient use of their time. So I am going to make a call to everybody on the review team. To the extent that you are on a workstream that is well populated, that there's a number of people there to do the work, and you are willing to reallocate yourself to work stream three in particular, I'm making that specific ask right now, and please notify the list if you're willing to do that. That's one observation. Anything else, Michael, on your end?
No, thank you very much, Brian. Thank you.
Certainly. Okay, Fiona, please. Fiona Thunder. Are you there, Fiona?
I had muted my line. I'm now unmuted.
Thank you.
The specific deliverables that we have been able to accomplish in Workstream 4 are that we were able to identify the main issues that we'll cover and narrowed them down to four. We've also been able to come up with a set of questions. We've got 10 guiding questions that should enable us to look at the issues we're working on to raise more specific questions for Durban. In as far as the progress is concerned, we did one call so that we could put in more time into the reading assignment, and we have managed to update onto the wiki most of the information for work stream with the help of ICANN staff. We have had a discussion on whether or not to shepherd the cross-cutting issues, but we'd agreed we'd wait for this main call first checklist so that we know what the independent expert will be covering. Then we can be able, during our next call, to determine which of the cross-cutting issues we shall shepherd as main issues for our work stream. And on assistance, we are still waiting for input from ICANN staff on some issues on that our work stream is addressing. If I can be more specific, we need materials on board and staff processes used to review, implement and oversee recommendations of the other review team. We have not been able to identify any material in that area, and ICANN staff had agreed to help with that. I think that's what I can report for now.
Brian?
I did it again. I was on mute. I apologize. Thank you, Fiona. Just so I'm clear, the request, outstanding request to ICANN staff, is that reading material or is that inputs from staffers? Just so I understand the nature of the outstanding request.
The material we need from staff is actually reading material.
Okay.
For now, it's the reading material that we're looking for.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Olivier, I see you're back with us. Thank you, Fiona. Olivier, if you would give us your report.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's Olivier here. So in work stream one, we've had an enormous amount of information to read, review, and digest. And I'm not actually speaking about digest as in reducing its size, unfortunately. But at the moment, we're still in a position to just take in all of the material that is there. In order to be as clear as possible as to what information relates to what, Wikipage was created to try and organize that information and make it all as easily found as possible. I'll send the link over of the Wikipage over in the chat. That pretty much is the center, the nerve center of the working group. You'll see that because the work stream is dealing with AOSD 9.1A all the way down to E, and we've got sub-teams in the team. Effectively, each one of the sub-parts has had some bits of information specific to the work that they were doing. So, for example, the staff answers which were provided were chopped up, very kindly chopped up by staff so as to relate them directly to the AOSD sub-streams. The relevant edition issues also are linked to that page for each one of those substreams. There's a link to the sources repository. We've put together just a large page with all of the sources, so we have access to all the documents that are required. And also, staff has very kindly chopped up the transcripts from the two meetings which the ATRC held in Los Angeles on the 14th, 15th of March and the 2nd and 3rd, day, 3rd May meetings. There's additional information that's on that page, and I invite absolutely everyone to look through it and make themselves aware of what's there. That's pretty much the line that we've taken during our calls. We've held three calls so far. We effectively looked at the overarching issues and the substream group in workstream one asked for additional documents if these were required. There doesn't appear to be that much request from any of the workstream members so far to ask for more information, and there is a concern, of course, that time is running out to ask for more information. So I have asked the participants in the different substreams to actually look out for what's still missing from all the information that we have there. With regards to the sort of action items that we've had, the last action item from our last call, Alan Greenberg had volunteered to obtain transcripts about board reconsiderations, and these would be added to the Workstream 1 repository that deals specifically with the board and board reconsideration requests. There is not many people in that substream, as you will see on the screen, only three. So, again, it would probably be helpful if another person came and gave them a hand on that. With regards to other action items, developing of targeted questions for SOs and ACs regarding 9.1E, that's really in preparation of the Durban meeting. And I'm not quite sure, perhaps you will be able to offer me guidance on this, whether it really is something that should be done separately by the people working on 9.1E or whether this would be done by the ATRT2 as a group. Finally, we also are scheduling, and unfortunately this week I've been unavailable, so it's been very hard, but we are scheduling a call next week with Christina Rodriguez from Language Services to follow up on her responses that she provided in written form, and she will attend the call for 30 minutes to review her responses. Of course, I encouraged all Workstream 1 colleagues to read Christina's responses prior to the call and prepare questions. finally, with regards to the LA 2nd and 3rd of May meeting, staff were going to follow up on the any of the items that might have been requested at the time and add them to the relevant sub-page on our wiki so that we can also start reviewing on this. That's all for the time being. Just with regards to resource needs, nothing to ask for specifically at the moment. We're very happy with the amount of support we've had, and it's been very good on that front, so thank you.
Thank you, Olivier, and yeah, glad to hear the organizational work underneath and the support by staff. Again, I'd encourage everybody on the review team to visit the wiki that Olivier built to help organize and direct the work of Workstream One. Even if you don't replicate what he's done, I think it's very useful to look at for organizational purposes. Let me make a suggestion or two with respect to the developing questions for Durbin, because I think that ties in clearly to the work of the work stream and the entire group. To be clear, from my perspective, developing questions for Durbin need not be a long list of questions. We've already put out a request for public comments and a questionnaire that was exhaustive, to say the least. What I think could be useful to have a more fulsome interaction in Durbin is if the review team and the relevant work streams are able to, even if it's articulating two or three very focused questions, that can be provided to the relevant AC or SO or GAC or organization that we're going to meet with in Durbin, just to focus the conversation and get a fulsome exchange. But those questions, in my mind, should be born from the reading that's been done to date, the assessment and analysis that's been done to date within the work streams, and be focused questions to drive good discussion. Another important piece of where we are is the public comments that we've received, and Alice has provided us with summaries of the public comments. So I would encourage each of the work stream chairs on the task of developing questions for Durbin, A, don't think of it as an exhaustive list, and don't think of it as a heavy lift. Think of it as a focused task. B, try to make sure the questions are based on the assessment done to date, based on reading of background documentations, and taking into the public account the public comments have been received. To that end, if we develop a short list of questions that help drive useful discussion, we've done ourselves and the community a favor. That being said, we do need to look at the calendar in terms of when we want to get these questions out to in advance of Durbin. And as I'm popping my screen again, and I'm happy to take thoughts on this from the review team, the Durbin meeting is the week of the 13th, 14th, 15th of July. We are at the 20th of June. To my mind, and let's have a bit of discussion, if the review team were able to generate some focus questions by the 5th of July, which would be 2 weeks from tomorrow, that would give the review team 2 weeks to put those questions together and give the ACs and SOs and the groups we're meeting with, a little more than a week to receive the questions and ponder them before our exchange. Does that make sense as a suggestion, or does somebody have other suggestions on how to do this? I'm looking for hands, and I've lost my screen again. Alan, is any hands up there?
Sorry, I was on mute. No hands up.
No hands. So can we agree to make that a target that by July 5th we'll have any focus questions to be provided to the community pulled together, and then we can give them to ICANN staff and Alice to communicate accordingly? And if you have questions that should be delivered to a particular AC or SO, please indicate that. And Fiona, we'll take that approach. July 5th.
Sorry, Fiona Alan? Is agreeing, and Larissa has her hand up.
Okay, thank you. Larissa.
Hi, Brian. Thank you. This is Larissa. Michael, I just wanted to clarify something in your report. My understanding is that you and your work stream will finalize the questions and send them to staff. We've had a variety of drafts as previews, and we've seen those, but can you please clarify whether you're working on the finalized version?
Okay, I will talk to Alan, and we will finalize it tomorrow, the latest.
Thank you.
Hopefully today, actually, because I'm going away tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we'll close off and agree that July 5th is our date for questions to be delivered by us to ICANN staff in advance of Durban. And I've given you my view of what we should be building in the meantime in terms of the questions. Anything else on work streams before we move to item 6? I'm seeing no hands. Turning to item 6, which is public comments in Durban, I hope everyone has seen that Alice has provided a summary of the public comments. They're there for our to factor into the work streams. I would ask the chairs, in looking at the comments, to please take those as part of your reading assignments and homework for the work stream members in a focused way. Questions on this, Olivier?
Thank you very much, Brian. I didn't want to cut you off. It's Olivier for the transcript. I didn't want to cut you off in your flow. I just wanted to comment on a first browse of the whole document, which I performed earlier.
Please do.
Okay, thank you, Brian. I'm somehow concerned about the comments we've received on many of the questions which were asked. The range of answers goes from 1 to 10, and with sometimes an amazing distribution between them, 1, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10. And I just wonder whether people actually answer the same question or not. It's clear that some find things excellent, some find things unacceptable, and they're talking about the same thing. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with that.
It's a good point. We do have to go through the task of assessing the responses and making sense of them in an analytical way. I don't have a suggestion for you in the moment as to the way forward on that or the approach we should take, but you flagged an issue, and perhaps this is something we should put on the agenda for the ATIT2 face-to-face meeting in Durban. Larissa, Alice, I think that would be a good use of our time to discuss how we assess and interpret the public comments and factor that into our work. Alan, your hand is up.
Yeah, a couple of things. There was an exchange earlier today, I think on the general list, that we need to make sure that we answer every comment and explicitly say what we're doing with it or why we're not doing with it. I think we have to, as we're going through the process of looking at the comments, understand that there are some that are simply just going to be out of scope. I mean, there was one saying ICANN should stop spam, and probably that's not something we can fix, certainly in this review. And as Olivier pointed out, the answers do range all over the board. And I think we're going to have to make, you know, if we're going to address an issue and try to go into a deep dive on it, I think we're going to have a, ultimately come up with a decision of what is the problem we're trying to fix, because we can't fix diametrically opposite things at the same time. So there's going to be a lot of value judgments that are involved in processing this input. And I think we simply have to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. I see Olivier's hand, and I see Jurgen's hand. Just before we go to you, Olivier. Alan, and this is based on what was done in the 831, we don't have to duplicate this. But and that the review team would respond to me. I'm quite sure I see that.
Brian, you're cutting out.
Okay. I said in terms of the suggestion that the review team respond to each of the comments, I doubt that we have the bandwidth to do that. What was done in the first review team was in the final report, there were a number of comments from the community that were cited and included in the report. Not all of them. The comments were reviewed, assessed, analyzed. The points were factored in, and those that the team felt were important in referencing or supporting their conclusions in the report, those were included explicitly to demonstrate to the community that we got your comments, we factored them in, and they are part of our output. That's as far as we went last time. We can have a discussion about how we handle these comments. That's just one reaction. Olivier?
Thanks very much, Brian. It's Olivier here. Now, another question which I had with regards to this was whether this was just the summary of the responses to the online survey or whether this also included the input from freehand answers to the different points which were raised. So that was one thing. And if it was, then does that also include any input which was sent in that was outside the scope of the actual questions that were asked?
I think those are questions for Alice or Larissa or both. Can you respond to Olivia's question? Thank you.
Yes, I was waiting for Alice, and she's the one that had done all the work. But just to let you know, this incorporates all the responses and all the comments, interactive survey, otherwise, and just free-form responses. And Alice actually has a section towards the bottom that highlights the other responses that didn't neatly fit into the category of the original questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Olivia, does that answer your questions?
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you very much, Brian. Yes, that answers my question. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. You're in.
Thank you, Brian. Well, you were referring to the, or Alan referred to the exchange of emails this afternoon, and Lisa sent out an email which was supported by Avery and Carlos and by myself, and I still support the proposal by Lisa. I don't think this is in contradiction with what you proposed, Brian, or what you reported about what was the process last time. My proposal would be that you put this on the agenda for the face-to-face meeting in Durban, where I'm unfortunately not able to participate myself, but I think that the spirit in the email sent out by Lisa is very important to stick to. You can always discuss the exact format of dealing with things, but I think it is very, very important that you find a means to be sure that you have been going through all the responses. I think it's only 31 responses which we have received, and they are fairly well reflected in the paper sent out by Alice, and each of the work streams or the teams behind the work streams might benefit from going through and see whether there are particular items in this summary which is dealt with by that particular work stream and take into account what should be taken into account. But at the end of the day, I think that we must be able to demonstrate that we have being responsive and taking certain views on board, and where we haven't done so, we must be able to explain why we didn't do that. But my proposal would be, as I said, to postpone that for the face-to-face meeting in Perth.
Thank you, Jörn. Very good suggestion. And yes, let's have that on the agenda explicitly. And I very much agree with the spirit of Lisa's email. I think we just need to come to our own common agreement how we approach this task. But clearly, we have to reflect back to the community that they've been heard and do it in the fullest extent. So let's pick that up as a team in Durban and come to an agreement or consensus on our specific approach to that. Let's see. Do I have any other hands up? Give me 1 minute while I pop the screen again. I don't see any hands. Larissa, is your hand up from before or are you up now?
Brian, I just wanted to close with a couple of comments that I left back with the chat to address developing questions for ACs and SOs, particularly in light of the first session actually being prior to Durban July 1st.
I'm sorry, Larissa, you were a little choppy on my end. I apologize. Can you say that again?
Yes, Brian, I'm sorry. I want your attention to the comment that Allison I put in the chat and the need to address developing questions for your meetings with ACs and SOs, the first session actually being on July 1st.
The first session is July 1st?
With the CSG, that's a call.
And we're not we're having a call with them on July 1st, not meeting with them face-to-face in Durban.
That's correct.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't have any space in their agenda schedule for an in-person meeting in Durban, so they suggested having a conference call prior to Durban. And since the meeting request included a note that questions would be forwarded to structured discussions, we'll need to circulate those in advance.
Okay, understood. So this is an outlier to our process. If we have any focused questions for NCSG prior to our call on July 1st, then we're going to need to get it to them at least a few days in advance so they have a chance to read them and prepare their thoughts. What's a reasonable suggestion for?
It's the CSG, not the NCSG. CSG, commercial, stakeholder group.
Oh, I'm sorry. Point to what might be a reasonable but random date. July 1st is a Monday. To the extent that Janet.
I hear nothing. Is anyone still there?
I'm here.
Yes, Michael Yakush was here, but I also hear nothing.
I think Brian dropped from the call.
Maybe he has an hour and a half limit on his.
Hello?
Hello? We can hear you now.
Sorry, folks. My line dropped. I just want to make the suggestion for next Wednesday. If any of the work streams has specific questions for interaction on July 1st, please get them to Larissa or Alice by next Wednesday, and they will forward them on in advance. Are there any other outliers to our interactions in Durban like this, or is that the one? Larissa, Alice?
Brian. So basically the meeting requests noted that questions would be circulated to structure the discussion. So I think the community is expecting questions now, so I'm not sure how would you like to handle this?
I think we agreed that by July 5th, the review team would put any questions that they have for the ACs and SOs together to be sent on July 5th by ICANN staff to the ACs and SOs. Does that work?
Does that work?
Okay, understood.
Okay.
Brian. This is Larissa. I'm sorry. Just to clarify, so the date of July 5th is questions from the team for the SOs and ACs to be delivered to the staff. What about questions from the team for the staff?
These are questions from the review team to the ACs and SOs to the extent that we have focused questions that we will send to Alice, I suppose, Larissa, the two of you, for you to forward on to the groups we're meeting with. That's the suggestion. Is that going to work?
Yes.
Is it clear what we're doing?
Yes, it's clear on the questions for the SOs and ACs, and I suppose the questions for staff will be addressed as they come up, and we'll handle those separately.
Questions for staff are a completely different animal. That's an ongoing thing that the review team may bring to the staff at any time, or the work streams may bring to the staff. Completely separate animal. These are questions for the ACs and SOs that we're meeting with in Durban to be provided in advance to help inform the discussion that the review team has with the ACs and SOs. That's the purpose of these questions.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay, great. Looking at the agenda, anything else on Durban? Larissa and Alice have the proposed schedule up for Durban. Larissa, Alice, anything other than the calendar, anything that we need to consider in terms of preparing for the Durban meeting?
So I just wanted to flag, Brian,
everything.
The calendar you see up on the screen is a draft. More sessions are to be added. What you will need to discuss as well at some point is the agenda you wish to have for the face-to-face meeting as well.
Yes. Yes, we have to put together an agenda for that. So that's Friday the 12th of July. We'll have a full face-to-face meeting of the review team, as we will on Saturday, a full day, and a session with the ombudsman on Saturday. And then everyone can see that we have the specific meetings from Sunday through Wednesday, where we'll have a public session from 1:30 to 3. We do have on Thursday, the 18th of July, scheduled a wrap-up session for the ATRT2 coordination team. So that would be the chair and the vice chairs to get together on Thursday the 18th and try to summarize at some high level what's taken place during the week. Does anybody have any questions about the schedule? Alan, I see your hand is up.
No, it was a separate subject. Come back to me when you're finished this.
Okay. Anybody have a question with respect to the Durban schedule? Sorry, I'm having trouble again with my...
I have a quick question.
No,
this is Aubrey.
Aubrey, please. Yeah.
A quick question.
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Last Thursday, 18... Yeah, I'm talking. That last meeting, the coordination meeting, I'm wondering, would it be reasonable to make it coordination plus the chairs of the
of the work streams? You broke up a bit, Avery. I'm assuming that's what you were suggesting.
What I was suggesting is having the work stream leads meet with the ATRT2 coordination.
I can certainly see the value in that. If the work stream chairs are going to be in Durban and available, I think that's a great suggestion. Alice, can we recast that meeting to include the work stream chairs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would suggest
thank you very much.
I would suggest make it at their discretion. It may well be possible that the vice chair who's sitting on that work stream could also represent them if they have, you know, if they have other commitments.
Scheduling is scheduling. Let's structure it as chair, vice chairs, and chairs of the work stream. And if people can't make it, let's find out in advance and use that time wisely. Okay. Any other questions either from the review team or Larissa and Alice on the Durban schedule before we move on and close? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands.
I have a question. Okay. I have a suggestion on Durban, not the Durban schedule as such. I would appreciate if staff off the public list could collect arrival dates and flights and distribute them. That will, if nothing else, allow us to know when we can meet once we get there and perhaps even share cabs. It's a bloody long ride from the airport to Durban, and we're getting there before most ICANN people are showing up. But maybe
is that possible, Larissa and Alice?
Yes, this is Alice. I'll try and get the flight information as soon as possible and send it to your individual addresses.
Okay. Joseph may well have it all, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you will have the information.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to close this item, move to the seventh item. We're already over the hour and a half. Update on confidential input. Avery, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to pick this up in terms of giving a report into the review team.
Okay, that turnabout is fair play. okay, So we've had a couple discussions among the chair with the vice chairs trying to figure out exactly how to handle things. I think there was a couple conversations with one person, and the other person has not yet been contacted. We realize that we need to be transparent and write reports about what we're not being transparent about, and that's something that we've talked about but haven't been able to do yet. So it was really good that the question came up because we recognize the need to report. Okay, one of the other things we've talked about but have not reached a conclusion on is the confidential list containing, the receiver's list containing both two members of on it. And there was a question, but certainly no resolution, of whether that was appropriate. So that was an issue that came back to the list on is it appropriate for board members who may or may not be dealing with issues to be on the confidential list. And that's a question, as they say, we are exploring but have not reached a conclusion on, and it's one I have to discuss with the whole group. So I guess that's about it for now. I just wanted to sort of say we are working through this. We're trying to understand the right way to do it, both maintaining confidentiality and being transparent about what we're doing, something that we see reflected on a much larger scale in more important issues in our world. But anyway, I wanted to make sure, and I'm thankful that the question asked. Thanks. I've stopped talking. Is someone else talking on mute?
No one else.
Yeah, I'm talking on mute. Sorry, Avery. Sorry. to put a fine point on it, and Steve, I think you're on the call, or at least I saw you were, we received input from a former employee of ICANN to the confidential list. As part of that exchange, it became clear that she wasn't comfortable knowing that the chair of ICANN was on the mail list, for better or for worse, but for the obvious objective reasons. So what we're discussing is, do we create a confidential list that would include Steve and Heather, who sits on the board as a liaison from the GAC, and have a confidential list that does include Steve and Heather? It's one thought we had. We're working through it. We don't have a hard conclusion yet, but clearly there's an issue there that we need to address. Is there any discussion or reaction or guidance? Olivier.
Thank you very much, Brian. It's Olivier here. I was going to actually make the question even more complex. Once that information is received, what are we supposed to do with it? I understand at the moment it goes through a confidential list, so we all have the information in our mailbox. But is this information going to be stored anywhere? Is it going to be, and how are we going to address it? Are we going to have calls that will be in camera? I'm a little confused about this at the moment.
Questions we don't have answers to yet. I think it's probably incumbent on myself and the vice chairs to come back to the team with some specific or concrete suggestions. Anybody else on this issue?
This is David. Just for point of information, the confidential list is currently archived on a machine that essentially no one other than myself has access to. I can delete those archives at any time should that be desired, or the default setup was that archives are created. They're not indexed. It's not accessible, but just so that information is out there.
Thank you, David. I also want to note that we're still being recorded, so this conversation is and should be about process, not about any individual inputs that we've received. I think it's incumbent on the chair and vice chair to work through these issues, come back with some concrete suggestions to the review team. If we need to have the conversation in a Chatham House rule setting, we will do that. But I don't have any other solution at this point in time to offer. Aubrey or Alan, anything to add?
Nope. Not sure if Olivier's hand is a new one or an old, or the old one.
And you?
New? Please, Olivier.
Thank you, Brian. I was going to suggest that perhaps we can all think about this and come back to you and your colleagues maybe as one of the items that we need to discuss in Durban. The information is there. It's not like we're losing it, but we obviously need to know how we're going to treat it and deal with it. So that's just a suggestion that we might wish to do on the process of the archives currently being there. I do believe that there needs to be an automatic record of what has been sent on that confidential list. It's important. I'm personally happy with David having the only person having access to it. But it just needs to be there in case there is a question as to where that type of information was received process-wise. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. And look, inputs from the review team on this would be welcome. I take the suggestion. Let's add this to the agenda in Durban. Larissa and Alice, we definitely should talk about it there, and we can talk about it in a Chatham House setting if we need to. I see that Steve Crocker has typed into the chat because he's unable to speak with us. But he's saying are you there, Steve? No, I can't hear you. So Steve has said, I have no problem with not being included in a confidential exchange with an employee. And he's typing a bit more. So that's very useful input, Steve. Yes, he's here and just can't speak. Okay. Well, I hope that improves for you after the call. Thank you for the input. We will take that on board. Come back with some concrete suggestions. Olivia, anybody else, please do the same. And we will table this for the any other points on this issue? I'm looking for hands. Okay, seeing none, then let's move to the last item. Is there any other business? And this is for review team Andor, Larissa, Alice, and Sharla. Any other business? Looking for hands? Okay, seeing none, thank you all for your patience. We went a bit long. Very much appreciated. Please, everyone in the work streams, keep up the very good work. Staff, thank you for your support. Let's get questions in by the 5th of July. Alan, I know you're off tomorrow, but Avery, and we'll touch base with Lisa. We will take the next action items on the RFP and work with staff to get that process going rapidly. Thank you all for your time. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.